Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Take a delicious shortbread, touchy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread,
touchy
nut bar. How
many
cheeks in the cookie jar?
One. Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Albert Einstein said, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew." When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty. Nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. Whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you Change the way you look at things. The things you look at change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. Rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. Much too soon. Yeah, everything must change. Young become the old. Mysteries do unfold. Yes, they do. That's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be. Except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, farmer's ground is plowed, people live and people die, yes, but still we can revive. We must always try. Seasons come and go. Winter brings fresh snow. Flowers bloom in spring. Little birds always sing. Summer beaches foam. You will never walk alone. Changes, changes, changes. Everything. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. A change will come. A change is coming. A change is happening. Changes. Everything must change. No matter what. No matter what you're going through and growing through. The real deal is, what are you learning from the changes? What legacy are you leaving behind? Are you afraid of changes? Or are you using it to grow yourself, to mature yourself, to embrace yourself, to learn from life, so that you can have a conversation with those that are coming behind you and inspire them to keep moving on? Today we're having a conversation with an elder, my friend, my mother, myself. Her name is Margaret Marshall. She's also known as a passionate senior. I call her Mama Margie. Sometimes I call her Margie. The Nigerian me doesn't always sit well with that. Like, you, some of my age, in my 40s, call somebody in their 70s by a first name? What in the world? That just, like, so I still got some of that in me. It's just the way it is. Got it on the television. And listen to this story, because everything changes. So I'm looking forward to the conversation that's about to unfold, the dance we're going to do. Bishop Carlton Pearson reminding us that everything must change. No matter what you're going through, it will change. You're joyful, it will change. You're sad, it will change. The most important thing is, how are you dealing with the change? Well, guess what? You're the life lady. Because this is where we support you and encourage you to be the change you want to see. So that change doesn't catch you off guard. You become the change you want to see. And change, like, oh, well, you know, they're mastered it. Anyway, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. Where change begins, and you make a difference. Thank you for tuning in to yourself, because when you tune in to yourself, you tap into your intuition, and then you have the right information to deal with whatever you're dealing with. The intuition is always there, giving us signs and symbols and colors and nudges. But if we don't tune in, if we don't become still, we'll miss it. We come out of the house and we say, oh my God, when did my neighbors move? And then you find out they've gone for a whole year. You got to tune in so you become aware. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. That's the official time. Sometimes we play a little bit. We play some more. You go a little bit longer. I never know when that's going to happen. I find out around after 1. But usually we finish with our guests around 1:15, 1:20. Sometimes we push it to 1:20, 1:30. But yeah, you know that whatever you hear, whatever happens here, is about change, is about moving you forward. We are here to inspire you. We're here to support you on your growth. So I got some announcement, but I want you to just ponder this. When is the last time you sat down with an elder and asked about their story, and you listened like a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old who's in bed, listen to the story time while they get ready to go to sleep? You listen like this is the best information you're about to receive. When's the last time you sat down with your grandparents and hear the story that you've heard over and over, but you set an intention to hear it differently? When's the last time you sat down with your parents to hear what's really going on? Life is about stories. This thing called life is just stories weaved together. And we're all here to write our own story, but we always continue that story based on the stories before us. So today we want to weave stories together so we can have sequels one after the other, and the one in the next record is better than the other. Like, wow, that's the best story you ever told. Yes, Margaret Marsh is in the house. She's 76, y'all. She's a passionate singer. And you get to hear and feel what I'm talking about. So let me give you some announcements here. Well, let me just tell you that we invite you. Today's Thursday. I mean, I don't know why I said today's Thursday, as if you don't know. Well, but if it's not Thursday, then it won't be Thursday. But anyway, we invite you to call in 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad if you want to share something with us or you have a question. Maybe you're in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, and you're like, I'm too old for this. Well, we've got a 76-year-old elder in the house to say, snap out of it. Don't make me come there and slap some passion into you. 347-426-3346. I like to crack myself up. Excuse me while I laugh. I'm here to play. I'm here to have fun. And here's something else I need to let you know before I forget. Monday is Memorial Day. You knew that. And if you forgot, now you know. I'm not going to be here, but I will. I won't be here live. I'm taking a break. So you can listen to the old shows. You can listen to the other shows. I'm always going to be alive, but I just won't be doing a live show. And, we all need a break. Everything must change. And moving right along, yes, number 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And, of course, I'll be back on Tuesday for another live show with Barbara Gerber. No, that's not her name. Because we have, all right, let me go here real quick. Don't be giving the guests a whole new name. Yeah, we have Joan Gerber coming, but on Tuesday I have, come on, load up calendar. Hello, no, not Tuesday. Oh, here it is. Barbara Berger, that's it. And we have Joan Gerber next Thursday. That's what it is. Yeah. I'm glad I checked that up. So anyway, the number is 347-426-3346. We're taking your questions. We're also taking your questions on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. Post your questions or comments there, and we'll get to it. If you don't do Facebook or can't get on Facebook for whatever reason, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversations, with an S, media.com. Click on the Ask Life Coach Ade tab and just fill in the email. And we'll have the questions and comment, and we'll read it out for you. If you want to be anonymous, you don't want people to know who you are, that's fine. Leave your name out of it. If you want to say your name, just let us know you don't want us to say your name, okay? And also, just for new listeners, those of you who listen to the show for the first time, you will hear me say lifeconversationsradio.com, and there's lifeconversationsmedia.com. What's the difference? Life Conversations Radio is where we partner with Blog Talk Radio. So that's where the show happens live. You can, and on this page, you can download all the shows in the past, all the shows that are archived, so you can come back and listen again. LifeConversationsRadio.com. LifeConversationsMedia.com is where you can find out upcoming guests and see the hosts, what they look like, and see what needs to be updated. Yes, you can find out what's happening here. That's where we get to see part of Life Conversations, what it's really about, what we're doing, and what's yet to come, and what needs to be updated. And speaking of which, if you want to find out about the guests that are coming up, go to the calendar rather than upcoming guests. I'm laughing at myself. You got to laugh. Mama Margie and I had a conversation, so I'm afraid to say this. I just don't have enough time to do all the things I need to do. You find out what I mean later on. Okay, so you got that. And Celeste, do a moment at 1 o'clock. May happen or may not happen, because Celeste Morgan is on a different mission today. But if she taps in, whenever she taps in, if she can do it, we'll do it. But if not, we trust the process of life. So now I think I am ready. I told you, check out the upcoming guest by going to, look at Celeste Morgan. Ooh, I was supposed to say that out loud. Well, we don't know if we're going to have a celestial moment, but she's tapping in. Okay,
All right, let me leave it alone. Let me not say anything else. My mind and my mouth, they work together sometimes faster than I can think. All right, let me bring my Margie on, Margaret Marshall, the passionate senior. It's time to have a conversation with an elder. Let's learn. How was it in the 50s? I can't even imagine what that's like. But anyway, or in the 40s or the 30s. Let's see, is that everything I need to tell you? I think that's it for now. Well, other than share the show with your friends right now, click the like button and let people, just invite people to come to the fireplace and kind of learn about life in a whole new way. You can tweet it, you can text it, you can scream it, you can yell it. Tell folks, listen to lifeconversationsradio.com and leave your comments as well. We appreciate that. Now, here we go. Now, let's take a breath. Let's just breathe in. Let's just kind of center now. Let's just feel the presence and power of God, knowing that all is truly well, right where we are. Relax, trust the process. Allow your thoughts to do what they do. Interrupting your stillness, just breathe in and breathe out. Don't fight your thoughts. And listen. Be still, listen, and be transformed, because you can.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
And so it is. Now let's move on. Don't you feel better? If you don't, sorry, I can't help you. Margaret Marshall was born in Jamaica, migrated to the United States, in 1959. Wow. Certified passion test facilitator. She retired from a successful 40-year career as a direct sales instructor for several national companies, where her graduates consistently exceeded goals and projections. She is described by many as a highly skilled communicator, motivator, coach, and a mentor. And she is such a visionary. She's always having a lot of ideas. That's my adding my two cents. Her passion is contagious. And she is gifted with the ability to transfer this passion to others. She describes herself as a passionate senior, still vibrant and passionate about her work. One of her current goals is to directly and indirectly, get this, directly and indirectly, at 76, help 1 million seniors live their passion before they leave this planet. She said, I am passionate about leaving a legacy Jamaica when I was growing up. Back in the days, she said. She lives out this passion by hosting her own radio show called Backyard Labberish on Blog Talk Radio. My memories are downloaded correctly. It's Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, when you can check out the archive. She's the mother of, well, she's got two sons, because the mother of two sons and one daughter, three grandchildren, and nothing can stop her. I mean, don't even try it. And if you're blocked, this is me adding to the bio now, if you can't figure out what to do with your life, just call her up and ask her a question. Ooh, you better write fast, because she has so much to say. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Margaret Marshall, a.k.a. Passionate Senior. I call her Mama Margie. Here we go. Hello, hello, hello. Look at all these people getting excited. Mama Margie,
wow.
How are you doing?
I am so thrilled with that applaud. It was fantastic. And guess what?
What?
I just gained a year. You made me 76. And during my meditation, I said, okay, I'm 1 year younger. Forgive me today if I sort of slide backward and celebrate the 76th instead of looking forward to the 78th.
Okay.
I'm halfway to the 78th.
Yeah, you're halfway to the 78. But you know, it comes to the point where you start come back full circle and you go back and then you're ageless.
Ooh,
so
wow.
I know that I was tuned into something deeper. I was downloading. The universe was reminding us. You get to a point in life where you become ageless and you start going
backwards in numbers. Yeah, you know, and honestly, I don't really think, no, that doesn't say the body and the mind, but in my mind, I don't feel I am that different except for the growth, but I mean in my energy level and things like that, because, you know, I run around pretty fast. So
yes,
I forget sometimes that I need to slow down. But it's just a joy and pleasure to be sharing with you today, my darling son, as
yes,
I consider
yes.
you. I've adopted you as my other son.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
So the
yes,
Mama
indeed.
Maji is, and that's a new name for me, and I love it.
Mm,
because
good,
my
good,
name
good.
Is Margaret, and I just found out, listen to this, Ade, my mother passed away when she was 72. She lived in Mount Vernon, New York. I was distraught because I am an only child. I have no brothers or sisters. And I never expected my mother to die. I mean, I never thought about not having my mother is my point.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sort of really knocked out when she passed. And I'd never been into her apartment. She lived in a senior citizen's home in Mount Vernon, and I've never gone there because I had a place for her in Florida that she refused to come to because her siblings were in Mount Vernon, and she had to be there to them. So she came to me in the wintertime and went back home, and I was very hurt. So when I was going through her belongings, I found my father's Bible. And as you know, I had a fire in my house. I am just going through the things. I didn't go through my mother's things before. I had them in the garage. And those things in a special old-fashioned suitcase that, you know, is not the new kind. You know, the hard ones that guy used to jump on.
Yes.
Right, he used to come through the airport and jump on them. Perhaps it was before your time, anyhow. However, I opened it up, and there was my father's Bible, tattered and torn, but I flipped through it, and I found out. And this is just a couple of days. I've been going through the things, and I might get a little emotional, that my mother gave birth to 4 children after me. They were registered in my father's Bible, and I was blown away.
Wow.
Because she never, ever told me.
Wow.
Never, ever told me. And I also found out that my name, Margaret, I was named after my grandmother, my father's mother.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how does this fit into all of this? Is that there's always change going on because you never know the emotions that you are going to be confronted with when they happen. Now, it's just how you handle those emotions in the moment, but it's not like you're ever prepared for it because this was total shock. So I could be upset with my mother because she didn't tell me. I could feel that, you know, she didn't love me enough and all of that crap. But you know what stood out to me, Ade? That I was blessed to find this information. I didn't even know it existed. I didn't. So I was bubbling over with joy because then I realized I knew I was special all the time because I'm here, right? But now I realize I am super special. Mm-hmm. Because four of them you never survived. Mm-hmm. And as I went to my grandson's, I have two by one of my sons and one by my daughter. I have three grandsons. I'm blessed with three grandsons. The two grandsons by my son are still in school. And I did a special project with the eldest one's class, and I was taking some cards to the school this morning, and I saw all the kids along with him. His state teacher gave me raving reviews about his academics and his behavior. And I felt so proud, and I thought about the children behind me that didn't survive.
Mm.
And I said, isn't that something? I am so special, so I'm ready to rock.
Ready to rock at 77, moving back to 76. By next month, it'll be 75.
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
so,
wow, what a story.
And I've been, you know, regardless of our circumstances, and regardless of the situation we're in at the moment,
mm-hmm.
is how we handle that moment. Because what I really would like to share today is that I call it the real equalizer that
mm-hmm.
all men are born with. And when I
mm-hmm.
say men, you know, we include the ladies too.
Right.
But we're all
right.
born into this world, whether we are in Africa, Asia, Jamaica, England, it doesn't matter. We all have something that makes us equal.
Right. And before we talk about what that equalizer is, before we talk about the equalizer, I want to ask you this because there are people asking me, they want to know exactly where you're from in Jamaica. But so I'm going to tie that in with the question that I always ask.
Oh, yeah, just
start
asking the questions as I go along because you know me, I'll babble. Like a baby.
Well, here's the first question I got to ask you this, or else my listeners will protest. I've got to ask you this. Who are you? Who is Margaret Marshall?
First of all, I consider myself, interesting question. I've never been asked that before.
Hmm.
I would say that I'm a very passionate female.
Mm-hmm.
I have always been passionate about everything I do. I mean, if it's sweeping my floor. Because I was sort of brought up around a lot of women and
mm-hmm.
older women. My father left Jamaica for England when I was quite young, and he never came back. He had an accident while he was there. And my uncles were off to the war, and there were not a lot of men in my family, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know. So I grew up with older women. Whenever I went to the country to visit, there were older women who were very passionate about passing on certain traits, including my mother. My mother was the eldest of her sisters. And they taught some special, we call them memory gems at the time, and just sayings. And I remember all of them always telling me, whatever is worthwhile doing is worthwhile doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to play, don't sulk and whine, put your whole self in that play and participate. If you're going to rest, relax and rest. If you're going to walk, if you're going to clean the table, do it properly. Do it well or don't do it at all. So get your mind all set to do what you're going to do to the best of your ability, whatever that ability is, but make it your best. And
right.
then they
right.
taught me, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better best.
Mm.
So I think those two things sort of riveted in my consciousness. So whatever I was doing, if I was learning to sew, in those days you learn to sew embroidery or so, I always wanted to do it my best. And if my aunt or my instructor would say, well, that little stitch is out of place, I would want to pick it out and redo it. So I would always consider myself as a very passionate person about whatever I do. And when I do something to get the best, it's not to get the praise from other people, but it's to get the satisfaction from myself. So I would, you know, this thing about being selfish, I would say that I'm quite selfish. In that, I am not always trying to please people.
Right.
I am always wanting to know that I am doing things that's pleasing to me and that's going to bring me pleasure and joy and not agony and, you know, conflict. So does that make sense?
I just want you to keep talking because I understand exactly what you're talking about, because being selfish is given a bad name, if you will. We're judged for being selfish, and so we try and give to other, we try and please other when we while we're displeasing ourselves. And for me,
right. At my age, if someone wanted to take me someplace or go someplace or think I should do anything, I said, no, what is it going to do for me? Am I going to enjoy it? Is it going to be pleasurable? Am I going to be helping them and feel good about it? So I decide. I think I've always been like that. You know, so sometimes if you are displeased, think about it. If you are really displeased with what you're doing, then you can't do a good job.
Right.
It's not possible. And, you know, this song, I don't know who sings it, but it's, you know, I remember it all the time. If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with.
Love the one you're with, right, exactly.
You remember that song.
Yes,
and there's
so
many of those songs that have so many spiritual meanings.
So,
you know, if I can get reversed, it's like you're in bed with this person, and you really would rather be in bed with the other person. You certainly can't do a good job. You know what I mean? Ain't going
to
happen.
Be better.
I'm relating
to
the song now.
Yes, do a good job so your good could be better and you can live your best life. I hear you.
I hope
so,
your listeners are relaxed
and
don't expect me to be.
I don't know if I missed it. Where exactly were you born in Jamaica?
Kingston. As we always say in Kingston in those days, I was born under the clock. Not really, but I was born in Kingston, actually, in St. Andrew. St. Andrew.
Okay.
Because I was born in 1935, and in those days, it was home deliveries. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I was delivered at home. I was delivered in my grandparents' house, and they had some property up in Hope Road, and my mother delivered me there. They had midwives in those days. So I was born in St. Andrew. But in St. Andrew and Kingston are close together. St. Andrew actually is really a city by itself. But it has always been, people born in St. Andrew say they're born in Kingston. Because Kingston, to a foreigner, they can relate to Kingston a lot faster than they can relate to St. Andrew or, you know.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Parish,
people come into Atlanta.
I
was going to say people who come to Atlanta or coming from another state, they say, I'm coming to Atlanta, and they may actually be going to Macon or going to Gwinnett or whatever, and they say Atlanta. Yes, I understand that. Now, you've shared a lot of different things. I've been taking notes here. I want to ask about the experience that you had when you realized that your mother had four other children. But before we do, let's talk about that selfish thing. I did a show on that. And for me, it's what I say about selfish is, you know, if you don't take time to take care of yourself,
right,
which will be considered selfish, you can't give from the overflow. And we've been taught that being selfish is really bad. You should think about other people. Don't just think about yourself. But really, if we don't nurture, I mean, it's a shift in the way we think. And I want you to speak more about that, because there are people who say, stop being, we tell children, stop being selfish. Share, share your stuff. And then as adults, we're like, I don't feel like sharing my toys, my space. But we encourage children to not be selfish. So we make selfish a bad thing, and we don't take time to be with ourselves. We don't take time to say, what do I want? So go
ahead. Let's go back to the children now. If we're telling a child who doesn't want to give up a toy that they're being selfish because they don't give it up, so they eventually give it up, what do you think are the emotions that they go through as that other kid is playing with their toy? Are is it positive or negative?
It's got to be definitely negative.
you see what I mean? The kid runs the thing into the corner or something, just tap on the wall, and inside they're exploding if they don't do it externally.
Right.
Now, a better thing might be to ask the child, why don't you want to share it, sweetie? Well, I don't because they might break it. See what I'm trying to say? But most people never go into a conversation about why you don't want to. So here's me now talking about yourself. If you are asked to do something and right away in your heart it says, nah, I don't think it's going to happen. But the expectations are that you should do it or you're selfish. You need to ask yourself, right? So, no, this is where you're going to get in love with it. Now, let's say it is an act of kindness that I'm being asked to do, that I really don't want to do it, but I have to work out in myself. Now, if I really find out that why I should do it, will it make a difference? I'll ask, why do we need me to do it? Now, if the reason they're giving satisfies me, that I'm going to feel good about, then I need to do it. You get my point?
Right.
Being in the moment with yourself is, to me, one of the most precious things that we have. And you know what I always tell people? I teach a class on listening to, you know, really learning to listen. But if you're talking to someone and they could be looking at you with a smile, it could be a smirk, it could be a dead sneer, you have absolutely no idea what's going on in their mind.
Right.
Because that is their private place that you can't enter. Absolutely not. So think about it. While you are processing what you're asked to do, nobody knows the conversation that's going on inside of you. So you don't have to be afraid of the conversation. You need to have it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense, because the conversation helps you find out, get an idea of what's going on in their private world. Conversation is the invitation to step into their world.
To satisfy my desire to do it, or do I need to just shut up and say, you know, I don't want to do it.
Right.
And you don't have to be afraid to say, I don't want to. And don't feel guilty. So I think one of the reasons that I've survived so many storms and still am able to ignite all of this passion is because now that I've talked about them, there's certain things that sort of was ingrained in me. I absorbed them well, and, you know, they operate on autopilot.
Right.
And when I don't know they're kicking in, they're kicking in.
you practice something until it becomes a habit, right?
Young people need an anchors, you know, things they can anchor on. That when the storms sort of start to rock the boat, they just attach that anchor. That anchor just take over. And they can stabilize. And I, speaking of the elders now that are not passing on, those that have something constructive to pass on, they I talk about it on my show all the time, how, you know, some of, even my peers, I'll talk to them and say, oh, the young people, they won't listen. I don't think I was a good listener when I was young. But you know, that I sat just in front of my people. But guess what? It was repetition in those days. Rote. They keep saying the same thing over and over. They weren't talking a whole lot of crap. If they got a phrase or a way to tell you to do something, it was the same thing over and over and over and over. Because that's how it sticks.
Yes, indeed.
So it's the same thing I'm trying to tell people in parenting. You have to use a method that you're going to use it time and time and time again. That's the way you're going to do it. You can't be switching all over the place. The mind gets confused.
It's like, yesterday you said do it this way. Today you're saying to do it that way.
Right.
And the mind is like, what is really going on? Right.
Which one? I want to take a break. Choose one.
I want to take a break.
I can do that way all the time.
Indeed. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about changes. We talked about that. The song we played at the beginning was Everything Must Change. I want us to talk a bit more about change, because that's something, as the song said, and you know, I know.
Oh, I love
that's something
it.
That's
I love
constant.
Change.
And we're not going to forget to talk about
say,
it. Equalizing.
Oh, honey, I haven't changed.
Oh, yes. Oh, don't get me started in that conversation. People,
yeah.
The only thing that's different, I made more money, but I haven't changed. Say that again?
I said, take your break.
Okay, I'm going to take my break. I'll be right back, Mama Margie. You are listening to Ask Life Coach at AOLifeConversationsRadio.com. Today we're having a conversation with an elder. She was 7'7", but since doing the show now, she's now 76. By the time we come back from the break, she'll probably be 75, because every time she shares her wisdom with us, she gets younger and younger and younger. So that's something to take on for yourself. Like, share your gifts, share yourself, and share your truth. And the more you share of yourself, the more you shed the things that you don't need, and you become younger and younger. I should sell that. That's a talk about a diet. But anyway, number 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad. We're also taking questions on Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Ask Life Coach at a fan page. And if you don't do Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. LifeConversationsMedia.com and click the Ask Life Coach at a fan page. My guest is Margaret Marshall, a.k.a. the Passionate Senior, and I call her Mama Margie. To find out more about her, her website address is Backyard Labberish. Backyard, like back of the house, Backyard Labberish, LABRISH.com. And she also hosts her own show, and so much passion on Blog Talk Radio. But we'll talk more about that when we come back. We want to support you so you can move from a place where you're doing good, but your good becomes better. And when your good becomes better, you can just pay attention to yourself, listen to what the elders share with you, and then you can truly, truly, truly live your best life. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop. and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
You've got to be the change you want to see. Why? Because everything must change. And also, let me give you this quick details. Earlier, I played Everything Must Change by Bishop Tarleton Pearson. To find out more about him, his website address is bishoppearson.com. Bishop, PEARSON.com. Check him out. Today, my guest is an elder. Her name is Margaret Marshall. She's also known as the Passionate Senior, and I call her Mama Margie. And she's here talking about the good old days and the good new days. We're talking about change. We're talking about life. We're just letting her do what she does, because there's so much power and learning from our elders. That keeps us connected to the life that is moving through us. If we're disconnected from our grandparents, our parents, our elders, we're disconnected from ourselves. And when we disconnect from ourselves, we're disconnected from God. You get the picture? Well, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Mama Margie. So we're talking about change. We're going to talk about equalizer. But change. You said something recently. You said you just recently found out that your mother had four children. I know that's a major change. After thinking you were the only child, and to find out that your mother had other children, and you just stumble upon it. Like, what? Really? What was that process like? What was happening inside of you, and how did you move through it, or how are you moving through it?
Well, at first, you know, I was really, really just blown away. I felt, it's hard to tell how I felt. I opened, you know, the Bible is very old, so it's very fragile, and the Bible was different then. It had a place in the middle with, like, Hebrew writings on it. So I was just thumbing through page by page when I came to this other, like a harder page than the regular pages, and it had marriage, and I read when she was married and who was there, and then I turned it over, and there it said births, and I saw my name on the top, then these other people's names. So at first, I thought it was other people. But it had my name. My name was, my last name was Brown before I became a Marshall. And my name was Margaret Brown. So under Margaret Brown, I saw Edith was something Brown. And at first, I started to get annoyed. And I'm saying, weird, the hell? Excuse me. But, you know, that's what went through my mind.
Yeah, I can imagine.
This?
I know you well.
You probably said something else.
You did?
What I know about you, you probably said something else. But anyway, keep going.
All last names were Brown. And I'm saying, what the heck is this?
Right.
But it so that what went through my mind at first. Then I wondered how I never saw that before. Then it made sense that I would look at the Bible, perhaps just flick through it, but because it's a big Bible and the pages are now so fragile that I never, ever got to that page. So I'm working all of this in my mind on why I didn't see it before. So I think that was my second thought. How come I didn't see it? And then I started to say, how come she never ever told me? Then I started to say, well, in those days, children were supposed to be seen and not heard. I remember my grandparent, grand-aunt, saying that to me. Leave the room. Adults are talking. Children must be seen and not heard. So nothing of that sort of thing was ever discussed with children. You know, when I wasn't always a child. However, I always wondered, and sometimes it got a little annoying. My mother, as we said in Jamaica, doted on me. I mean, I was like her world. And she wanted to do nothing less but be with her sisters and take care of me. That was her life. Her life sort of revolved around me. And I always tell people, you know, when people, I said, are you an only child? People say they're all, I said, do you like it? And they would say yes or no. Well, I tell them, I never liked being an only child.
Uh-huh.
I didn't. I mean, there was nothing I could do about it, but I had a lot of my mother was always with her aunt, so I am the head of the clan. You know, she was the eldest, and I am the eldest of all of my cousins. So I liked the sort of being the eldest and sort of a little authoritative. I would tell them. I did most traveling around the elders, so I would be teaching them sort of thing, you know, that kind of thing. But how I dealt with it, and this just happened a couple of days, is I worked through that, and then I felt a little guilty that perhaps my mother never shared it with me. And then I got to the rejoicing stage. And I remember a commercial I see. I think it's about the website where you can find your history. And this woman said that she had researched and found that her great-grandmother only had many children, but only her great-grandmother survived. And she said, wow. You know, the great-grandmother had children, and then her mother had several. And she said, boy, how lucky I am to be here. And that just flashed in my mind, and I really rejoiced. I said, no wonder my mother was so... Sometimes you don't know the reasons. And if I was only mature enough to ask, perhaps she would tell me. And that's something I've learned as I mature, that there... Absolutely nothing wrong with asking if you want to know. And never, ever assume. Because if you don't know, you don't know what's going on in a person's mind. And if someone says something that you think is a bullet for you, you know what I mean by a bullet, something bad, even in a sarcastic way, you need to ask, you know, are you referring to this or that? Do you mean this or that? And have them clarified. Because sometimes it's unfounded.
Right.
You know, we might say something to someone and they snap at us. And it has nothing to do with us.
Absolutely
nothing. Now, at my stage and age, it just rolled off of my thing. If I did something to them, really, and they took it the wrong way, I don't really care. But the point is... And I'm talking sometimes about my children or some other people. But the point is, if it's going to bother me, then I need to ask them.
Right.
What do you mean by that? Explain it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Because communication, you know, if we're in the moment, if we use the thing about being changed, the idea of changing, and we tend to be sensitive to what other people say or do, then the change can start with just a simple thing as being in the moment of that agitation, you know, when whatever it is upsets you, being in that moment and seeing what you can do about it. If it is someone you're interacting with, can you ask them a question? Right? Do you need to count to 10 and then ask them the question? Or, you know, respond? So you need to start. If you're not already doing it, you need to start. Because guess what? You may never get that moment again to resolve whatever it is, whether it's with a child, a stranger, or your enemy, what you consider your enemy.
Because
the fact that we're interacting with the person or the situation means that we need to resolve it. And how we can help ourselves change is being in the moment. In the moment. And I know with all the technology that we're exposed to, which is wonderful, and I'm encouraging whoever is not embracing it to embrace it and use it for their good. You don't have to use everything on it and be like everybody else. You know, you have to figure, how can I use this tool? How is this tool, whatever the tool is, whether you're going to be a tweeter or a Twitter or, you know, a Facebooker or whatever, how is this going to help me get to where I want to be? But here's the key. If you don't know where you want to go, you're going to be wandering all over the desert.
Especially on Facebook. You start reading people's status, and you end up here, watching this video.
You know what I mean? What is my objective of being on Facebook? Am I using it to socialize 1 hour a day, 1 hour a week? And how is this socializing on Facebook helping me to get to where I want to be? Because I know where I want to be. But if I don't know where I want to be, I'm just wasting time.
Let me jump in there because I wanted to ask you this. When you talk about wasting time and change, and we want to talk about equalizer. You know, we talked about the internal change you went through when you found out you had some other siblings that nobody told you about, but the holy book told you that, my child, you got some other brothers and sisters. Now, let's talk about external change, which is really about technology. You were 77 before you called the show, and as I said, every minute you get younger and younger. So I announced it as you being 76. You're probably younger than that now. But anyway, in your 70s right now, you still do Facebook. You have a show that you do. You send email. You can build a WordPress website. There's things you can do on the internet that the people in their 20s and their 30s are saying, I'm just too old for this. And you also, you and I, when we talk, you talk about some of the people in your age and talking about, email, what's that? Or don't even have a computer. What would you share with those of us who are in our 20s and our 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s are saying, I just don't like technology? What would you share with us so that we can embrace it? You're sort of going there, but is there anything else you would add?
Oh, sure.
With us
let me
to
just
embrace
say
the technology.
Whether you like
that
it or not, it's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going away. You cannot do anything to make it go away.
Mm.
So you the quicker you embrace it, can't love the one you're with,
mm-hmm.
it can't be with the one you love. A lot of people would like to be back in the old days when everybody in the neighborhood knew each other and the milk was coming to the front door. You know, no matter how we love those days, they ain't coming back. Right? So we can sit and complain and dream and all of that, but is it going to help us? Right? Or do we have to jump in our cars or ride our bicycles and get to the store and get the damn milk? You know, I'm not talking necessarily about the males, but whatever age group you are, that you are not embracing this technology, then you need to ask yourself, what is my objective? Am I going to be the only person out in the ocean babbling that don't have a boat? And if that is it, sure, you know, I'm done. I'm in my little place in the ocean. I don't even need anybody else's boat behind me. I have a boat here, and it's not going anywhere, so I'm good. Now, if you're good, it's fine. Here's my point. If you are satisfied with what your life is, what your environment is like, what your body is like, what your mind is like, then just sit and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have to change. Just rejoice. But I can tell you, anything that's not moving forward is gradually moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have to catch up, then you can sit and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody has ever been in a ditch and they can sit there, do nothing, don't scream, don't try to climb out, don't ask for a rope. Says, you know, I'm scared, I can't take the rope because I don't know if it's going to break. The point is this, you have to know where you are in your circumstances, right? And where you want to be. Where do I want to be? Do I see the email as a way to communicate with my children? To do, what is my objective? Because I'm telling you right now, I know that in another couple of years, if I'm still around, if I'm not texting and tweeting, I won't be communicating with my grandchildren.
I know, that's right.
That's for sure. You know what I mean?
That is right. So let me ask you this, Chang, before we talk about the great equalizer. What is the most significant change when you look at how things used to be when you were growing up and now in 2012, what has been the most significant change that you've experienced that when you think about it, it's like you always have to just, maybe you have to just sit with it and kind of, like, it's almost hard for you to get your head around.
You know what, for me? Because I have come from a generation that is really in tune with the next generation being educated, I cannot see how parents cannot have that as their priority. I mean, there are some parents that would rather buy expensive shoes and clothes and do certain things other than spend money on educating their children. And that's happening all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You get my point? I was reading a blog from my country yesterday about the fact now that at the University of the West Indies, you know, it's now open a lot more to people from that would be considered poor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they don't, the tuition is subsidized, and a lot more of these very smart young people are getting into college, you know, and getting a university degree. However, they would rather have an $800 cell phone. Their parents, of those that are in the other lower school, would rather, to be sure they have a cell phone, not just a cell phone, but the most techie one, than paying the school fee or buying a book. It takes priority. And that really annoys me. It really is the thing I see that is totally different now, and it's happening all over the world. I'm not just saying it's there. You know what I mean? People are more allowing, I suppose, just the social, all that's going on socially, to override the fact that, you know, children need an education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just up to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
parents have to really be involved in that too, and grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, to me, that is the biggest change I've seen. And it's happening with wealthy people too. You know, don't misunderstand me. They'd rather be out playing golf and have their children in front of a game or a video or, you know, something. I'm not saying it's not, you should not balance, but you go to a parent-teacher meeting and there's very few people there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're busy doing other things. So I really enjoyed, as a young person growing up, when I look back now, I really enjoyed having older people as my mentors and guides and coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sort of don't exist much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
From that. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It does.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's talk about the great equalizer that we were talking about. You were talking about.
Oh, man.
What is this you said?
That great equalizer. All men are created equal. And as I said, whether you are in a different time zone, a different economic, you know, situation, the color of your skin, whether you're sick or healthy, it doesn't make any difference. Can you guess what it is, or did you know so you can't cheat?
Yeah, I know what it is, so I'm not going to pretend.
Every human on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Have 24 hours in a day.
That's one second
more or 1 second less. The queen have the same amount of as me. Right? The newborn baby has the same amount as me. Nobody, I don't care how much money they have or how little, have any more or any less. And whatever we do in a moment, in a minute, in an hour, we will never, whether it's invested time or wasted time, we can never, ever, ever replace it.
Mm-hmm.
It is priceless. It is priceless. And I think if people would approach their day with the fact that, man, I have 24 hours. Now, what am I going to do with it? Because I'm never, ever going to get it back. Absolutely not. Am I going to be squandering? Am I going to be spending? Or am I going to be investing? So, you know, sometimes when I teach a class on that, it's not that you're going to be working all the time or reading all the time or listening to motivational things all the time. Sometimes doing nothing is a good investment of time, just being still. But here's my point. You need to know. You need to be in the moment of what you're doing with that time. Am I spending the most of it in other people's business? Am I spending it or most of it in my business? Because it's only my business I need to be concerned about.
Right.
Now, taking care of my business, I automatically take care of, I'm in other people's business. Don't misunderstand me. But I gotta plan my day, don't I? Do I get a yes on that?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So I believe that if people become more aware of what they need to do to make a change, they also need to know what kind of change they want. You know, just saying I want a change is like just saying I want money. I need money. That's too vague.
Right.
Everybody needs money, even the people that have bukus.
Right.
You don't need more.
Yeah.
You know? So you have to identify where you are and where you want to be. And then, as you go through with your time, you say to yourself, this is my goal for the day, it's going to be for the month, for the year, whatever. Is what I do in the next 2 hours, how is it helping me to get to where I want to go?
Right.
And that is something simple that people can do if they're disciplined. I think another thing that that individuals need to learn in order to change is discipline. We have good intentions, but, and you know, we all fall off the wagon every now and then. However, we have to know, hey, I fell off the damn wagon. Now, do I want to get back upon the wagon, or I want to stay and let the wagon run over me? Because I got to move. I got to do something.
Right. I got to move. Okay, before, time is moving fast. Time does what time does. It keeps moving and talking about being run over. So let me ask you this. We're talking about the great equalizer, which is time. Everybody has 24 hours, and really it's about how we use the 24 hours. Now, let me ask you this. Because you said, and it's true, we know it, that once time is gone, whatever time we have with somebody we love, we care about, an opportunity, once it's gone forever. It's, you know, there's another opportunity to do something different. But I want to ask you, when you reflect on the past 70 years or so, what would you consider your greatest regret?
It's very easy. As you know, I've had a lot of medical challenges. And one time in my life, I was at a motivational meeting, really, and a fan came out of the ceiling and just clopped me in the head. And I was in the hospital for a while, and my mother came.
You said a fan hit you, came from the ceiling and hit you in the head?
In a hotel, yes. So, I mean, I've had some unusual things happen to me. Anyway... And I didn't get rich either.
you just woke up. But go ahead.
Anyway, my mother flew down from Mount Vernon, where she lived, to be with me when I got out of the hospital. Mm. My mother wanted to tell me a lot of things. And every time she would go into the conversation about the past, you know, she said, you know, I wanted, you know, Uncle so-and-so. You remember when I was in, I said, Ma, I have to call the insurance company or, you know, I have to check if the children are getting home from school. I never had time. I never made time is my point.
Right.
Never made time. And as I look back in the same thing happened with a dear aunt when she was in her last days. She kept calling for me. But I had a business I was taking care of, and I felt that I needed to make arrangements here before I go there, blah, blah, blah. And I really regret those two things. Because I never took the time. I wasn't in the moment. I wasn't living in the moment. Because I was even a little, at the moment, annoyed that she was bothering me with telling me stories. Because, remember, in my mind, I didn't expect her to die. No way. You know what I mean? Because my mother was always healthy in terms of she was similar to me. You wouldn't know how many medical challenges she was managing. And that taught me a lesson. When my mother died, I found out, just like I'm finding out about the children, I found out that she had had a heart condition for 7 years and never shared it with me. And I was devastated. And that taught me a lesson because I am now sharing everything with my children. Because I felt I was angry at first. Then I started to feel guilty. I know why she didn't tell me because I would have been I would have kept her locked up.
Right. Right.
You know, at the time in the consciousness, I wouldn't want her to do anything and go anyplace. And she had just come back from 2 weeks before they had a fire in her complex, and that triggered the whole thing with her leaving. You know what I mean? But
Yes.
She, I would share more. I would take the time. That is it. I would take the time to do more important things. Because I realize that most times a day, the things that we stress about, I call them majoring in minors. This is minor things. But we can blow them up into a mountain. You know, and make it major. When it's just a minor thing that can be handled in a nanosecond. But if we stress and worry and carry on, then we lose a whole hour or a couple of hours.
Or a lifetime
learning
sometimes.
How to manage our emotions, I think, is a very good thing to practice. And being in touch with how we feel, because I don't know how you feel when I say a word or do an act. You know, I don't know how you feel. I'm not inside of you, but you know how you feel. And let me just give you a for instance now. If I'm around a person and they're saying or acting in a way that is always in conflict with me, and I can't resolve the conflict within myself, then I need to get away from them.
Right?
Don't you agree? But only me can make that decision because I know what's going on inside of me.
Right.
So I
right.
think that in order to make change, you have to get in touch with yourself. You have
right.
to know you. You have to analyze you, and you have to love you. If there are things about yourself you don't love, then do something to change that. Because when you are in love with yourself, man, you're in love with the world.
That's right. That's right.
Everything is beautiful. I find myself going around now, and I'm like, oh, look at that beautiful tree. Did you see that? And the person beside me and saying, it's just a tree.
It's just
a
tree.
Before. And I'm saying, man, this love thing works.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know
so we've
what
got
I mean?
A couple minutes with you, but I want to ask you this, because I know your passion and I'm being aware of the time as well. But two more things I want to ask you. Spirituality. What is your idea of who and what God is?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked me that. You know, I was speaking to someone, one of my fans on the radio, and they told me they had to go to church because if they can go to, they go to a treatment every year. I mean, every day, every other day, she's on dialysis. If she can go to treatment, then she can go to the house of God. And I said to her, why? And she said, because that's where he is. So why don't you invite him to your house?
No, that's right.
Or me. So here's my point. As far as spirituality is concerned, I really believe that God lives inside of me. And I'm a co-creator with him. And everything if I think about it that way, what do I want to create? I want to create things of beauty, things that will last. It could be an idea, a word to someone, an act, but that's what I want to do because I don't have to go any place to find him. I help make things happen. I am important. I'm part of him. You see what I mean? So when I'm behaving badly, I have to say, is this him? Am I reflecting him? So that's how my spirituality is, really. I really believe that, you know, I really believe that. I believe that, and I know, it's not a matter of belief, that everything that was not created by nature, the trees, the rocks, the sand, the water, right? Everything else, Ade, everything else. The pipes that the water run through, right? The tools that dig the hole to put the pipes were all created by a man. Somebody's idea. Somebody's idea. You know, I interviewed a fan in Canada who she's an enamelist. She makes murals out of enamel. And she did a mural celebrating the black inventor who invented the streetlights. Do you know it's a black inventor that invented the streetlights? Did you know that?
Right. Yes,
okay.
That is. Yeah.
And her caption on it was, "From chaos to order." Because he brought traffic from chaos to order.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I thought, what a beautiful words that she put it in. But think about it. Everything, the cup that you drink your coffee out of. So we are all creating, is my point.
Mm.
We're all creating. We create through our words, our ideas, our acts. Because if you think about it, if you help someone who has an idea to do something, right, that is good.
Right.
Even though you did not directly participate in developing that idea, you are part of the creation, weren't you?
Yes, indeed.
If we think of ourselves, we are really bigger than life. We are bigger than life. And I think most people, in whatever situations they are, they don't really give themselves enough value.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you know you're valuable, then it's a feeling of exuberance, of joy, of, oh, man, I'm a bad mama.
Mama John.
Oh, in a good way. Sometimes I almost feel like I can walk on water. Don't try that yet, but
we'll try and see what happens. Okay, let me ask
so
you this.
When I get a problem, oh man, this is a big one. But because I am bigger than life, I can handle it. If I couldn't handle it, I suppose it wouldn't be in my face.
Let's
get to work. What do I need to do? What change do I need to make to handle this situation? Because it's in my face, so it's mine. I need to own it, and I need to solve it. And man, when you walk through that, because you have to walk through it, man, I mean, it's like getting an Emmy. Please.
Yes.
We all have that.
Yes, we do.
We just have to ignite it. We just got to find that spark and get it going.
That spark of divinity that is within each and every one of us. Now, you're sparking up, you're lighting up, you're allowing your passion to come through the phone line and go into the ethers, and people are catching it, even though they're not listening to the show. But let's go fast forward 100 years from now, 200 years from now. What would you want your legacy to be when, if you were able to review your life 100 years from now? What would you want people to say about you? What would you want to create it that is taking the whole world to a whole new level? Your legacy.
The fact that people realize that they are immortal. That is, if I can get that, and if I can get people to really live their passion, and you know, everybody's passion is not to be rich. You know, and passions change as you go through life. But it's just that if I have helped even one person realize their dream and experience happiness, then I think that my life would have had a purpose. And if they can pass that on or implant it into someone, somewhere, somehow, to me that is immortality. And that is what I want my legacy to be, that someone has learned something valuable mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want.
Thank you. Your show on Blog Talk Radio, what time does it air? Is it
8 o'clock.
8 p.m.?
It's at 8. And what I'm doing is, I go to the historians and find out about people who we never learned about when we were growing up, because we only learned about the English history, General Penn and Mr. Abel and whoever. And who fought who to get what. And
right.
all the other things. But there were
right.
some very powerful people in the past who did, in a small way, but a big way, some great things. I mean, men, women, traveling from Jamaica to Africa to London. Can you imagine what the boats were like then? Especially
right.
for the women. God. I'm sure it took months, and with women, what happened. And in those days, how they used to dress.
Mm-hmm.
They went because of a passion. They did great things. They made their mark. And that's what I talk about on the show. It's not about politics or religion or any of that. It's just, and I find a connection with them that can ignite something in us. Because mankind is gifted with this. Regardless of where they are or the circumstances they're born into. And I believe in reincarnation, and I really believe that sometimes we're here black and poor, sometimes we're here white and rich. Who the heck knows?
right.
Sometimes we're the devil. Somebody else is the persecutor. So I really believe that.
Right.
So I tend to, not take sides, but see the beauty in everything and how everything is just evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And in some places, and I find that in my stories too, in some instances, so many things have changed, but so many things remain the same. So many things remain the same. I read a story, doing a story about an earthquake in Jamaica in 1907 or whatever. And even then, the insurance companies were trying not to pay the people for their properties because, there was an earthquake, then a fire. Then they were saying, well, one didn't belong here because of technicality. I said, they're doing the same damn things here now.
They
can get out of not paying.
right, exactly.
So I talk about the historic events, and then I do my sidebar, as I call it, where I relate to how it relates to us. So I'm having a ball, really, and I'm learning so many neat things about just humanity, but of course it has a special gift for me because it has to do with my culture and my country, So, but I'm sure
right.
there are similar stories all over the world, but I'm just fascinated by what used to happen 100 years ago. Especially with our people, that's what Backyard Lavish is all about. But I'm getting Passionate Senior started because, as I said, I really got to get a little fire under these seniors that are moping and complaining about their, want to talk about their hip and their, all the other parts of the body.
That's right.
And I really want to talk about something else. And they need to get something to switch their minds to, and the younger people too. You can't be on your problems all the time. And there are lots of free stuff people can learn online. Do you know there's a, if you want to know how to pronounce a word, you can just type it in, and there's a voice that will tell you how to say the word.
Right.
The people can be educating themselves online almost for free. So there's no reason not to be embracing the technology. Absolutely none.
Right.
I know of people now who are quitting their jobs because they're asking them to take a computer class or, they've been there for years doing it one way and all of a sudden everything has to be paperless. And instead of embracing that, we're saving the earth. Well, paper had its time. It's beautiful. We'll use it when we can. No, we're moving on. Move with the times. Change.
Change.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. I feel your passion. I feel your passion. I hear you, and it's such an honor and a blessing, and I'm grateful for us to have this conversation. I talk to you not as regularly because time does what time does, but, you know, to actually sit here and listen to you from a different perspective, it's just so refreshing, and here get in your mind. And I want to thank you for all that you do, for your passion, for the fire, for leaving a legacy that leaves people waking up, gets them to wake up and think differently about themselves. And what you said earlier, it's like igniting someone to make a difference in somebody else's life, then you can really know you're immortal. Your life lives on even while we're not here in the body. I thank you, Margaret Marshall, passionate senior Mama Margie. I thank you for what you're doing. I'm so grateful that I know you, and I truly, truly love you.
Love you too, darling. Mm. And
yes,
I hope the fans liked it. And we'll talk soon.
Yes, indeed. I'll call you after the show. Thank you so much.
All right. You're most welcome. It has been my pleasure. And it's always a joy to be with you.
Yes, indeed. Likewise. Likewise.
Okay, darling.
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Ooh, life is good. It's getting better. And when you know that life is good, it's getting better, guess what? You will live your best life. The theme is about change. It's about change.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
When you dare yourself to live your best life, you will see change differently. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll come back with my final words, my final thoughts. We may even have a later version of Celestial Moment. Who knows? Let's see what's going to happen. But we'll be right back. It's all about change. I didn't even know that was going to be the theme, but it kept coming up. I was led to play this song about change. And while Mama Margie was talking, I keep hearing this song. So I just want to leave that with you. I'll be back. And also want to remind you, I won't be here Monday, Memorial Day. I'll be taking a break. I've been nurturing myself because it's needed, but the show is live.
Good morning.
No, well, the show is not live. The shows are archived. There you go. So just bear that in mind. We're back on Tuesday, and yeah, today's Thursday, right? It is. I don't know this date. Yes, yes, yes. It's all about change. What do you need to change? How do you need to use your life, your time? Do you need to do your time differently? Do you need to do your life differently? Do you need to be different about your life, about yourself? Embrace the change. That's what 2012 is about, is change. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in the other conversation. A change has come over you. Embrace it. Nikki Harris will be right back.
change has come over me. Oh, stop it. Change. Even if you don't embrace change, you're changing already. You're changing while you're asleep, but you can choose to change awake. I know that's right. When you change how you see your life, when you change your thoughts, your whole world will change. When you step into a place of gratitude, you recognize that you are one with the one, that you are one with God. You will not walk the same way. You will not see the same way. You will not pray the same way. You will change from begging God to knowing it is already done. And if you're not experiencing what you're praying for, you know you just have to tweak something. You may have to do a little bit of forgiveness, a little bit of being still, meditation. Just all giving that you're praying for. It's all about change. That's what life is about. There's an evolution and a revolution. We're evolving and evolving. One day you're going to look back, it's going to be 30 years from now, and there's something that you're doing right now that you're so passionate about, excited about, and you may look back and say, oh my God, I can't believe I was excited about that. You may even think, oh, I'm so embarrassed. But somebody else might tell you, I am so glad you did that. I'm so glad you wrote that book. I'm so glad you sang your song. I'm so glad you danced with me. I'm so glad you stepped out of yourself. It's all good. No judgment, no criticism. We got to set ourselves free and allow ourselves to experience God in a whole new way every day. To experience ourselves differently every day. I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. Let's bring on Celeste Morgan. She's finished the other task that the universe had her on. And now she said, I got to show up. What are you talking about? I got to show up because I know how to use my time, because I usually come on around 1. Isn't that right, Celeste?
That's right. Hello. I can't wait to go back and listen. It feels so weird, but you set me up, though. You set me up in a good way this time because you talked about change.
This time? What do you mean this time?
Change. Come on.
You mean
today.
I don't set you up in a good way?
No, you don't. But that's okay because I like the change. I like the surf. It's okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, time is running. So good afternoon, family.
Hold on. Before you go into that, I want to know how I set you up. Tell me how I set you up.
Okay, let's go ahead and wrap up the week real quick then. So on Monday you had on Bishop Carlton Pearson, right? You told me, ha, 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 I don't want to go after him. I wouldn't want to go after him, Celeste. And that was the first setup, and we did okay with that. Now we're set up in a good way because you let me know what I missed. So I didn't miss anything. I was still in the flow. So you set me up twice this week. It just so happens today it was good. You got all that?
I got it.
Okay, and, you disagree?
I will be wrong to disagree with you.
Because it is my celestial moment, isn't it? I appreciate you. I'm going to miss you on Monday, so, you know, we had to go ahead and work it out. We'll be okay, though. I'm going to play in the archives. We have lots of places to go play on Monday when you're not live.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Now, may I say hello to the family that I don't know who's there, so I can't do any shout-outs today?
Yeah, we don't do shout-outs anyway, so it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I know Tamara's spiritual midwife is there, so hey, girl. Okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the family now. It's on Friday.
I'll be quiet.
Oh, please. Goodness. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift and trust you'll be able to use these tools to embrace what is showing up in your life right now. It's Thursday, May 24th, 2012. Add the date, and you get 2041. Add 2041, and the energy of the day equals 7. However, we are going to double it. We are choosing to multiply to get double. 2 times 7 equals 14. 14 is one of the everlasting movement and brings trials and dangers from a great variety of experiences. Such people experiment for the sake of experience. This behavior may lead to chaos, but their aim is to try for progressive change and the final joy of renewal and growth. The 14th letter of the alphabet is N, and words like natural, new, and now connect us to the magical power of 14. 14 also shows up as the temperance card in tarot, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today, from the perspective of Mother Peace Tarot. Let's not forget where temperance finds itself in the tarot dance. It sits right in between death and the devil. What stories one must have to tell themselves to stand in the fire and transmute for growth? Alchemy is the key to power, our Mother Peace folks teach, letting go and facing the shadows. Temperance holds hands with our fears and says, give it here. On the Rider-Waite tarot deck, Archangel Michael is seen pouring a concoction to balance the elements with living water. Michael represents strength. Now, the 14 Temperance of Mother Peace features a shaman healer of African descent. She is dancing between fire and water. She's open to experience life's delicacies, and her dance sets the waves of the ocean on fire. Her dance is her natural expression of joy. With no pretense, she just shows up. The northern lights shine over her head. She invites all of us to party into balance between land and water, to embrace the duality of oneness and join the circle of ancestors and living beings who wait for us to find the middle, to go to the center so we can listen. The Buddhists call it the middle way, straight to the heart. That's where Mother is. The middle will get you where you are going. No more mirror, mirror on the wall. You come face to face with your truth, the embodiment of all things beautiful regardless of form. One who is also one with prosperity and free enough to share from the overflow. All is well, and that's the story of 14 told through the Temperance card of Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Have a great holiday. Thank you, Ade.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yeah. He said, let's go forth and multiply the consciousness of truth because we can. But before you go, Celeste, I want to ask you, what do you want, what have you taken away from this week? Or, that's one question, but something says you've got something you want to say. What do you have for the listeners? What do you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, I'm going to tell you, 3's been following us this week, whether we knew it or not. When C.A. Brooks yesterday pulled the Empress card, that card came back to me in a very different way, and it's actually on my Facebook wall under Nina Simone, if people want to play with that. I'm actually shaking. I can't believe you asked that question. But I think if I were going to leave anybody with anything, it would be to Google what the Empress is and to use it as an affirming prayer to get more of it in your life. And going back and listening to what's been happening in terms of building relationships, connecting with the same-sex marriage piece, connecting with the stories from Lynn Andrews, Mama Margie. I didn't even get to hear all of what she had to say. I'm not even sure if I'm missing someone. Here to Inspire, Mo Love, all of these people coming together to remind us to be authentically who we are so we can share our gifts with less lifting. How about just showing up as we are? So that's what I learned listening to you and the guests and the other hosts. And I thank you for that opportunity to share that.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thank you for being part of that co-creative experience so we can provide that space for listeners and ourselves. And all you do with connecting with the guests, finding guests,
going back and forth, answering some of the questions that we've answered already, giving them phone numbers and all the other stuff that goes on behind the scenes that people don't know. I truly, truly appreciate you. And it's such a joy, a blessing to know that what you do for Life Conversations Radio, I don't have to do it. It's like, when I see the emails, I'm like, thank you, God. So I'm grateful for you. Thank you for being you and showing up authentically. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, too. I actually miss hearing the I Will Play promo, too. So I can't wait to go back and listen. I feel like I'm at the retreat by the sea every time I hear somebody play it. So thank you, because it gives us a mini vacation before we get there.
Yes, indeed. Okay, just for you and everybody else who's saying, what you thought, what you mean play? What mini vacation? I need a break. I need to play. Can she say that again? Well, we're going to play that, and then we're going to play Abraham talking about time and space. Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you, and talk to you later.
All right.
You are listening to Ask Life Coach at A on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We'll be back right after this. Cece!
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Yes, indeed. I will see you there. That's in September. Check out iwillplay.org for more information. Yes, it's time to release the show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Cece, Celeste, Mama Margie, Ombassa, Tamara, everybody that's listening. If I miss your name, please just forgive me right now. Don't even do too much thinking about it. Just forgive me right now. We're getting ready to release the show. And there are those of you I can't see because everybody doesn't seem to. You're not listening through Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to a different site. But all of you that are listening, those of you listening to the archive, thank you for your support, for your love, for your generous donations that come in, for just being part of this beautiful experience. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. It is so important to be loved because it is who you are. It's important to be true to yourself and just as important, be loved. Allow the love to come back to you. This is Abraham speaking through Esther in talking about time and space. Time and space. We're out of here. I'll be back on Tuesday live. But if you miss me, you're going to miss me anyway. You're going to miss me tomorrow. And if you don't, let me tell you this. Don't go a day without Life Coach that day. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. I love you.
Okay. One more little thing. I also like the idea that the 17-second combustion point of thought. And I think I heard you say on a CD that it's incrementally getting quicker, and that's related to this being a time of awakening.
But what we are saying is that because the stream is moving faster, in other words, more contrast causes more asking, and more asking causes more answering. So the vibrational basis of all that is raising, which means the stakes are getting a little higher, you might say, in that the reason that the well are weller today and the sick are sicker is because the stream's moving faster. And in a faster moving stream, you don't have as much latitude to be sloppy in your thinking. And the combustion point, in other words, when you hold a thought for 17 seconds, by law of attraction, another thought like it will join it. And when the two thoughts join, there is a combustion point that has the potential of creation. There's creation in those combustion points. And we think the reason that you like the idea of that is because it makes creation feel more tangible to you. There's something about being physical. You were born into a time and space reality because those measurements are more meaningful to you. And the reason that those measurements are more meaningful to you is because it gives you a greater facility to focus. And in focus, there is power, you see.
Right.
It's like the difference between a spectrum of light and a laser beam. The laser beam is more focused, you see.
Right. Okay.
So where were you going with that? What is intriguing to you about that?
Because I want to understand what the significance of that is. Like, you know, if you know, let's just say that the combustion point of thought, and probably not going to happen in our lifetime, but I mean, is it just going to keep getting shorter and shorter and shorter? Because I plan on coming back, you know, and so when I come back again, is it going to be 5 seconds? And what's the significance of that? I mean, should I be excited? Is that wonderful?
Well, let us tell you something. You're really going to like this. It's always fun to offer analogies and then have time go by where your understanding broadens and then go back and revisit a former analogy from a new place of understanding. So let's do that here.
Okay.
So as we talk about this 17 seconds, this was an analogy that we offered in order to assist you in understanding that there is power in thought, and to sort of help you to understand how law of attraction responds to thought. So now think about this vibrational escrow that we are now talking about, which we were not talking about when we were talking about that 17 seconds.
Right, right.
Now we're talking about this vibrational escrow, and we're talking about you becoming a vibrational match to your vibrational escrow. So consider this. We think this will be an intriguing concept for you to wrap your thoughts around. In the non-physical realm, there is no time or space between the offering of a thought and the full receiving of all of the manifestational benefit of it. In other words, instant manifestation. Because we are non-physical energy and we are receiving the fullness of our experience through thought. In other words, you are in this physical realm where you choose to translate your creation into the stuff that you can translate through your physical senses and so on. But we want you to understand that when you give birth, remember, you are us. You are that which we are. You are the extended physical leading edge version of us, but you are us. So when your life causes you to ask for something, we live it immediately. That's why we were shouting at you, it's done. It's done. It's done, you see. So all that has to, this isn't about time shortening. This isn't about law of attraction getting faster. This closing of this gap is an individual thing. It's only about your perception, your willingness to accept the worthiness and the doneness of the receiving of anything that you are asking for. You use your physical eyes as your excuse to separate yourself from the things that you want, and you don't need to do that. And so this gap closing really is about, and we talked about this briefly with someone earlier, that the more of you who are getting this, the more of you who are knowing that you are source energy, the more of you who are speaking and knowing as you speak your worthiness. In other words, feel the difference between saying, I am worthy and you are too, and saying, we could be worthy if we did these things. There are no conditions about your worthiness. There are no conditions about your godliness. There's no conditions about your goodness. You just have to accept your goodness. You just have to convince yourself about it. And so this closing of the gap, or this 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, whatever seconds you want to call it, it's only about your willingness to let go of the ideas that separate you from the goodness of that which you are. That was good.
It was great. Thank you so much, Abraham.
Yes, very good. It is not an easy thing to contemplate non-physical, is it? Because you want to decipher everything through your physical format. The best way for you to decipher what is non-physical is to feel it. Non-physical is from your ability to perceive it, it's about feeling. Not so much about visions, not so much about experience. It's about feeling. It's that exaggerated interpreter that you feel rather than see. Yes.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.